Go, go.
Go.
Let's play two.
Let's play two.
It says ready.
Okay, you got it, it's on. Okay, good morning, everyone. Okay, so the first thing we'll try to explain today is the title of the shiur. In Hebrew, it's very simple. It says, Asiyas Tanai B'Sfiras Omer, making a condition or a stipulation in Sfiras Omer. In the English version, it says, Sani Quanon in the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. Based on my years of studying Latin, the way I understand it is that it means making an imperative stipulation or an important condition in the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. For those who want to debate the Latin, we can discuss that at the end of the shiur. Okay, so we're going to start with some of the halachas that will, before we get to Sfiras Omer exactly.
What did you say?
Sine qua non, to make some type of imperative condition or stipulation in the mitzvah.
Debate it after the shiur.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Before we get to Sfiras Omer proper, we'll preface with some other with another mitzvah that sometimes or often to make a tanai on. So the Shulchan Aruch in Arachayim in source 1 in Simen Mem Vav, the end of Simen Mem Vav Siftes, brings down discussing the halachas of Birchas HaTorah that we're familiar with every morning, the Birchas HaShachar, Birchas HaTorah. And then the Shulchan Aruch tells us that we should not make, we should not say any psukim before we say Birchas HaTorah. And therefore, it's appropriate to say Birchas HaTorah, you know, towards the beginning of davening, as we all know, as a regular part of the Nusach HaSiddur. What we're going to focus on is the Rambah. The Rambah says that after we finish brachos, we say what we call karbanos or various short tefillos before we start the main psukah de Zimra. And there, the Rambah says, "V'tov lomar b'shachris achar Shema Yisrael." It's appropriate to say in the morning after Shema Yisrael. Again, this is not the main Shema. We'll say later in Birchas Kriyas Shema. This is the Shema we say as part of what we call karbanos. After you say Shema, you should say Baruch Shein Kvod Machusul Elam Voed. Says the Rambah, "Ki the pa'amim." Because sometimes, maybe the chazan is going too long, or they started davening too late, whatever the reason is, sometimes a person will, the tzibur will miss Zman Krishma with the brachos, meaning we're going to say Birchas Krishma after Zman Krishma. For argument's sake, let's say Zman Krishma is 9 o'clock. So sometimes it ends up that Krishma will be stated with the brachos after 9 o'clock. So you want to be make sure you yaitze the mitzvah of Krishma properly, bismana. So a person should say Shema, Baruch Shem, and of course the post can say at least the first parsha and preferably all three parshios in the morning, so that we've already covered our bases. So the Magen Avraham over here in source two says, what does it mean ki the pa'amim? He basically speaks out what we just explained, but he says pirish mishum de the pa'amim, because sometimes shayin hatzibor l'chein oimer b'chol pa, meaning it's not for certain. Certain shuls you can, you know, that they daven set with the clock. You know exactly they start 8:30, 8:32, you know what they're up to, 8:35, you know what they're up to, 9:01, you know what they're up to. But certain shuls, depending on the chazan, you know, it depends. Sometimes keladin goes a little longer, sometimes keladin goes a little shorter, so you don't know exactly how long it's going to be. However, says the Magen Avraham, lo yechavin latzeis elam kein yirish hatzibur yavuz man krishma. But, says the Magen Avraham, don't have intention to fulfill your obligation unless you know that for sure the tzibur is going to be over zman krishma. Aval, however, kishalo yavru, if the tzibur is going to get to krishma before the zman, then don't have in mind to be yotza mutav latzeis de krishma im hatzibur. It's better to be yotza krishma later with the tzibur velikros osa kedineha, and you'll read it appropriately with the brachos. So the Magen Avraham is just saying, although we're saying now it's a good idea to have in mind before davening to be yotze the mitzvah of Krishma, because sometimes you'll go overboard, but if you know for sure, let's say Zman Krishma is 9:30, 10 o'clock, so you have no problem, you know, and you're starting davening 7:30, so you know you're going to make Zman Krishma, unless some big einus happens, but typically you'll make Zman Krishma at that point. So then don't have in mind to fulfill your obligation of Krishma, and have in mind to fulfill it at the appropriate time when you're saying the brachos. As a side note, the Vilna Gaon in the Bir Hagro over here, it's not on the page, he argues on this Rambah, and he says you should not have in mind, you should not say it, unless for certain you're going to miss Zman Krishma, but in a typical situation, you should not even say Shema Yisrael as part of the morning. He says just say the end of the phrase, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, because the Vilna Gaon is a shita, that if you even say just the first phrase of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you've already fulfilled your basic obligation, and you're going to miss out doing it the best way later with the brachos. That's the opinion of Vilna Gaon. But what we're saying over here right now, what we're going to focus on is the Rambah and the Magen Avraham, that when you say Shema in the beginning, or the Karbanah is part of davening, if you know you're going to miss later, then you should have in mind to be yotze the mitzvah now. And if not, just say it, but don't have in mind to be yotze the mitzvah of Krishma, so you'll get the best mitzvah later, saying it together with the brachos. Okay, comes along Rabbi Kiviger and says, well, Life isn't black and white. It's not always clear. Am I for sure going to miss it? Or am I for sure not going to miss it? Sometimes you're, you know, playing your cards a little bit. You don't know. So you want to do, you're not sure because that Zman Kriya Shema is 9:05. And you're starting davening 8:30, Shabbos morning. So it really could depend. If the Chazan goes Pesuk HaZim a little bit quicker and they don't sing Kelada, you'll make it. But if the Chazan says Pesuk HaZim a little longer, or someone stretches out a Kaddish somewhere and the Chazan sings a long Kelada, you won't make it. So you're not sure. So what do you do? Do you say, do you have in mind to be yaitzeh the Kriya Shema that you're going to say in Karbanos? Or should you play your risks and see if you'll make it or not? Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, over there in source number 3, he's going on the Magen Avraham, he says, Lanias Taiti, according to my opinion, Biyare, if someone's afraid, Shatzibur Yavor Zman Kriya Shema, you're afraid that the congregation will miss Zman Kriya Shema, Yechavein B'derech tonight. So you can make a stipulation, you can make a condition in your intention, your kavana. That what? Im Yavru, if they're going to miss Zman Kriya Shema, Yehei Yaitzeh B'zeh, I'll fulfill my obligation now. I'm going to say the whole Kriya Shema now. And I'm going to make a stipulation that if I'm going to miss the Zman Kriya Shema later with the Tzibur, so I want to be yaitzeh with what I'm saying right now. Vim lo Yavru, and if they're not going to miss Zman Kriya Shema, the Chazan will go quick enough that will make Zman Kriya Shema, then lo Yaitzeh B'zeh, I don't want to fulfill my obligation with this. It should be just like that I'm saying words of Torah. It should be like I'm just learning Torah. It should not be I'm fulfilling my obligation. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger introduced to us a very basic idea. We make a stipulation. There's a condition here. I'm going to say Kriya Shema now, and I'm making a Tanai, a stipulation. If we're going to make Zman Kriya Shema later, then what I'm saying now should just be like I'm reading the word Psukim of the Torah, and if the congregation later on is going to miss Zman Kriya Shema, so I want to fulfill my obligation right now with what I'm saying. How do I know this, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger? How do I know such a halacha exists? Ends off Rabbi Akiva Eiger, Kamosha Kosov HaBeis Yosef, like the Beis Yosef writes in Simon Tuf Pei Tes, the Inyan Sfira Se'omer, like the Beis Yosef paskins for us by the halacha of Sfira Se'omer, which we'll get to in a moment. But at this point, again, Rabbi Akiva Eiger is introducing to us by Kriya Shema. You could say Kriya Shema tonight, which many of us are familiar with this, maybe without knowing even all the background of it, but we know that if the shul is going to daven later, then we're going to miss Zman Kriya Shema, or we're often not sure if the shul makes Zman Kriya Shema or not. Then you say Kriya Shema before davening on a Tanai with a stipulation, like it's sourced by Sfira Se'omer. Now, just to digress for 1 minute, the halacha of Tanai, of making stipulations, has various ramifications and various, details of it that's discussed in the Gemara. We learn out, the Gemara explains from B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain, from those two Shvatim that came to that approached Moshe Rabbeinu, and they wanted to live Be'eva Yad, and they did not want to cross over into Eretz Yisrael. And they said they made a whole stipulation and a Tanai with Moshe Rabbeinu. They're going to come, of course, they'll help fight, and then they'll go back. They had a whole back and forth with Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara, in a couple of places, discusses at length that there's a principle we learn from that parsha in the Torah called Tanai B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvain. Every stipulation that we make has to mimic, in a way, that the B'nai Gad B'nai Ruvain made their Tanai. And I'll just mention some of those principles are, you have to say the Hain Kodem Malav. You have to say what you will do before what you won't do. There's a positive before the negative, or what you won't do. And it has to be a Tanai Kafel. You have to speak it out in a redundant way. And there's various explanations of each one. I'm just summing it up. And there are various, principles in Tanayim where you can't just say, I'll do it if it works out. You know, you can't just be vague about the Tanai. It has to be very... spoken out in a very specific and explicit way that you're covering every possible situation. And that's the principle called Tanai B'nai Gad B'nai Ruvain, and that's Kalole HaTanayim, various principles in the halacha of Tanai. So when Rabbi Akiva Eiger over here says you have to make a Tanai, what are we talking about? Are we talking about the big halachic principle of Tanai, which comes along with all its myriad of details? Or it just means just think about it. So you have in source number 4, from the Siddur of what's called the Siddur HaGro, it was not written by the Vilna Gaon, it was written by the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon. And there in Hilchas Kriya Shema, it's in parentheses where I marked it off, it says, V'katzva Gaon Rekiv Eger, he quotes Rekiv Eger, and then 2 lines down, he says, after he finishes quoting it, it says, V'yesh Aymrim, there are those that say, B'shem HaGaon Mereino Rav Yisrael Salanter. Now we usually typically... commonly referred to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter as the father of the Muslim movement, which of course he was, but he had many chidushim and halacha as well. Many of them are published. And it said, brought down here in the name of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Zecha Tzavah Kodesh Levracha, Diba'inan Dine Tanai, when Rabbi Akiva Eiger says you should do a Bederach Tanai, you need all the halachas of Tanayim. Hainu Tanai Kafel, you have to have an explicit, redundant Tanai speaking out all the possibilities. Vehein Kodim Alav, you have to say the positive side before you say what the positive before you say the negative. And that's what he's quoted as saying. So Shaul Salanter is paskening, and when we make this tonight by Kriya Shema, again, you have a situation where a person's not sure. If he knows for sure he's going to miss him on Kriya Shema, then we have the Ramah and the Magen Avraham telling us, B'yotze Kriya Shema and Karbonos. If you know for sure you're going to fulfill Kriya Shema at the proper time with its brachos, so then we have the halacha clearly saying, don't fulfill your obligation before davening in Karbonos. Wait till Zman Kriya Shema, wait till you say Birchas Kriya Shema, and fulfill your obligation then. We have Rabbi Kivager introducing us this concept of you're not sure, you don't know. Maybe you don't know exactly when Zman Kriya Shema is, or you're not sure if the Chazan will daven at the proper pace to make Zman Kriya Shema. So do a Bederech Tanai, make the stipulation. And Rabbi Shaul Salanter is explaining that means you have to speak it out in a very explicit way. Let's just, for example, you would say, well, I'm going to say Kriya Shema now. I would like to fulfill my obligation with this Kriya Shema if I'm not going to make it later. If I do not make Zman Kriya Shema later, I want to make this Shema be appropriate. However, if I will make Zman Kriya Shema later, then I want this Kriya Shema that I'm saying now to be just like I'm reading Psukim the Torah. That will be basically, so it's kind of long-winded, basically, that you're getting forth a whole, all the possibilities in your Nusach HaTanai. Yeah.
Can you just think of once-in-a-lifetime stipulation.
Oh, okay, hold on. According to that's
Every single day.
It's be overwhelming, right? Okay, well, according to Rabbi Shaul Salanter, you got to work on yourself every day. You need musar every day. You got to make this tonight anytime you want to use it. That's what Rabbi Shaul Salanter is saying. However, the Chazon Ish and others are quoted as passing, again, not like this Rabbi Shaul Salanter. This is, we have to keep this in mind because we'll get back to this later. But the Chazon Ish, it's not in the Sefer Chazon Ish, but it's printed from the Talmidim of the Chazon Ish, that the Chazon Ish said no. Over here, for this Tanai, you do not need to make the Tanai in the way of Hilchas Tanayim, in the way of making a Tanai like you do in business transactions. Chazon Ish is quoted as saying that is only necessary when you're dealing between man and fellow man. There, you have to speak out all the possibilities of the stipulation because it has to be very clear about what you're putting in, what's the stipulation, what's the condition you're putting in. But, says the Chazon Ish, when it's been Adam L'Makayim, when it's between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you make the basic Tanai, if I'm going to miss it on Kriya Shema, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, can fill in the blanks. He knows what you mean, you know what you mean, hopefully, and you could say Zman Kriya Shema B'Tanai. That's what the Chazon Ish holds. So again, according to Rabbi Shaul Salanter, the Tanai here will be more long-winded. It's more like a regular halacha of Tanai, like we have in other business transactions. According to the Chazon Ish and others, this Tanai could be in a more shorthanded way, in a more terse fashion. Just say, I'm making a condition. If I'm going to miss Zman Kriya Shema, I want to be yaitzu with this. Now, whether or not you have to actually utter it with your mouth, is this the din and amira, or I can just think it? That's another discussion. Many paiskim say that I can just think about it, but we're not going to go there right now.
Why do we even have that krishma in the beginning?
Okay, fine. Well, it's seemingly, it really was not instituted for to be yaitzah krishma with. It's part of the nusach. We're talking about how a Klal Yisrael prays the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's part of the tefillah that we're saying. Tefillah koydem atfilah, it's called. It's kind of prepping us to get ready for davening. Once it's ready there, so then where's the Ramah and the Magen Avraham are saying, well, it could be beneficial in case you are going to miss Zman Kriya Shema.
So
okay.
If you know that they're going to make Zman Kriya Shema, so then you really, the Chathkila should not say it at all.
Well, according to Ramah and the Magen Avraham, just say it, but have in mind not to be Yotze Kriya Shema. According to the Vilna Gaon that's brought down a Maaser Rav, he would be careful not to say Shema, the whole pasuk of Shema, then he would just say, the nusach over there, right? Hashem lakeinu Hashem achad. Just call out that phrase.
He's talking about the pasuk of Kriya Shema, or he's talking about the Baruch Shem Kavod, because he seems to be saying that on the Baruch Shem Kavod.
The Ramah is adding Baruch Shem, so you could be yaitze Kriya Shema, and also say we have to the place to speak out.
Right. The pasuk of Shema Yisrael as well.
Yeah.
Well, just on the day of my bar mitzvah, can I make a tannoy for my whole life?
Okay, so according to some pasuk, if you go with the Chazon Ish, perhaps that could work. If you go like Rabbi Shaul Salanter, B'chaira, since he's putting it like a regular halacha of Tanai, that's in other places in halacha, that has to be spoken out every single time. You can't just work on a basic assumption that once I made a stipulation, it could work for it. But if you go with the Chazon Ish, this is just between, since it's between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you could just say it once, seemingly, that would be sufficient. Now, just to broaden this topic for a second, but I don't want to discuss it too much, this concept of making a Tanai in mitzvahs comes up in other halachas as well. We'll get to Sefer Soimer in a moment. We said so far about Kriya Shema, it's applicable to tefillin as well in two places. For those people who wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, so there are those poskim that say you shouldn't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Some poskim say you do wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So some people make a bracha, some people don't make a bracha on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So some people say, well, if you do make a bracha and you do put on tefillin, you should al tanai, whether I'm going to be yaitzah to the mitzvah or not, or whether I'm just putting on. So this tanai comes in over there as well. There are those people who wear tefillin to Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam at the same time. You don't see it so commonly here in America, but in Eretz Yisrael, many Sephardim, they put on two pairs of tefillin at the same time, and the Ritzuos are overlapping one another. You don't have enough room to put all the Ritzuos spread out. So now the halacha is that they're not chaitzitz, but in case those are not tefillin, so you make a tenai as well over there that I want to be yaitza only with the tefillin that are ikar the mitzvah. The other ones I just want to be as if they're not there. There's another halacha that the place can deal with. Let's say there's I think the case was like there was like an old shul that had only one old Sefer Torah, and they were constantly finding, unfortunately, mistakes or things that needed to be fixed up in the Sefer Torah. It was getting old. So, but that's the only one they had. So the Rav of the shul thought of an idea that he wanted to, that, you know, because if you get up there, make a bracha, and then it ends up being a puzzle Sefer Torah, you know, you might have potentially made a bracha levatala. So he writes a letter to the Rav who wrote a Sefer called Machza Avram, a Tshuva Sefer. He said he wanted to know if he can make up a new Tanai. He wanted to make Berchas HaTorah in the morning when he davens it from his Siddur. He'll say Berchas HaTorah, and he has in mind, he wants to make a Tanai, it should only be Chal until I get the Aliyah, until they read from the Sefer Torah in Shul. When they bring out the Sefer Torah, I want my Berchas Torah to stop. And then I'll make a new Asher Baruch Harbonu, I get the Aliyah, and I'll have in mind that, listen, either I'm being yaitzeh now the bracha of the Berchas HaTorah that I have to make every day, or this is go for the Aliyah, or maybe it can even go for both. Again, it's just an idea. I'm just broadening the topic. There's many cases of where Tanai, where the post can discuss if you can make a stipulation of mitzvah and how it works. Now let's get a little focused on Sfiras Omer. So the Beis Yosef in source number 5 over here in Hilchas Sfiras Omer brings down from the Avudraham as follows. Kasav Harav Rabbeinu David Avudraham. He brings the name of the Sefer Machzor Vitri, who was a Talmud of Rashi. He says as follows. Hamispalim at Tzibur. If someone is davening Ma'ariv with the Tzibur, with the congregation, mi ba'od yoyim. For now, we're going to translate mi ba'od yoyim as from part of the day. We'll see exactly what part of the day he's davening. But it's definitely not after Tzeis HaKechovim. It's not after the stars come out. Moina imahem b'loy bracha. So the shul is going to say Sfir with the bracha at that point. We'll see exactly again what time it is, but we'll say at X for now. At X time, the shul is going to count Sfir with the bracha. Everyone agrees that the best time to count Sfir with the bracha is after Tzeis HaKechovim, after the stars come out. But he's afraid that, and the shul is doing it to count it then, because they, you know, they don't want to just daven Ma'ariv without saying Sfira, because everyone's going to forget to count Sfira. So they want to rely on the opinions that you could count Sfira earlier. But this guy says, listen, I don't want to count Sfira now. I want to count Sfira later, like l'chatchil, like I'm supposed to. But I'm afraid. I'm going to get busy with other things. I'm going to forget the whole next day. So he wants to do as follows. Meimar Omar, this is the end of the first line in source 5. Meimar Omar, he wants to say, Im eskar belayla bebesi. I'm sorry, I skipped a couple words before that. Moina imam b'loy bracha. So the Avudraham says that as an individual, I can opt out of what the tzibur is doing again. The tzibur, the whole congregation, is counting sfira early with the bracha. I, as an individual, can opt out and say, listen, I'm going to count now. Let's say tonight's going to be 15. So I'm going to count 15 now without a bracha. But I'm going to say hayayim, chamisha asar yayim. I'm going to say today's the 15th day, etc. But I'm going to make a stipulation and say as follows. Meimar omer, I will say, Im eskar belayla bebesi, if I remember later when I'm at home at night, achzar ve'avarech kedin, I'll go ahead, I'll make a bracha, and I'll count again, appropriately. V'nim tushloi berachti levatal, and it won't be that I'm making a bracha levatal again, because if I count now, if I say it without making the stipulation, and I don't make a bracha, we all know the halacha, that once you say the number of the night, that's it, you lost the bracha for that night, right? If someone asks you what tonight is, and it's already nighttime, you shouldn't say tonight is 15, if that night is the 15th, right? That's what we all know, the minute gives, we say, last night was this, so that we can still count with the bracha. So he wants to cover his tracks. He says, listen, I'm counting now at a zman where it's a suffix if it could be yitzah or not. I want to get the best of both worlds. I want to be able to remember to count later with the bracha, but I want to have a backup insurance policy in case I forget, I'll still be yitzah the mitzvah. So I'm going to count now. I'm going to say tonight is 15 without a bracha, and then after 8:30, after 9 o'clock, whatever it's going to be, after Tzeis HaKechovim, I'll take out my Siddur, I'll make a bracha and count again the 15th. Avudraham says that works, that's a Tanai, I can make a stipulation. And this is the halacha that Rav Kiveger was quoting before, when Rav Kiveger introduced us the concept that you can say Kriya Shema al Tanai as well, just like you see by Sfiras Omer. This halacha is Gepaskin and Shulchan Aruch in source number 6. The Shulchan Aruch over there in Hilchas Sfiras Omer, Sif Gimel, just read the Shulchan Aruch, the bold print. Hamispal lemat tzibur, someone who davens with the congregation, mi ba'oid yoyim. Again, we didn't define what that means. Moina imam beloy bracha, you count with them without a blessing. If you remember later on, you count with the bracha and count again. But if you forget, so you don't lose your opportunity the next night to say a bracha. The next night, since you made a stipulation, let's say you said it was the 15th, so the next night, it's going to be the 16th, you can count with the bracha because you counted yesterday on a condition with this stipulation. Now, comes along the Mishnah Berurah on the next page in source number 7. The Mishnah Berurah is going to guide us in what it means, Niba Ojom. Now, this is really a big machlokes on the page of the Shulchan Aruch with the Magen Avraham and the Taz and the Vilna Gaon. They're all weighing in on what exactly it means, Niba Ojom. But we're going to go now with what Mishnah Berurah says. Mishnah Berurah says, Niba Ojom, Yesh Me'achronim, there are those that say, Sheperishu Dehainu Bein Hashmoshes, Dehainu Sufik Laila. So let's just say, for argument's sake, say that Shkia is at 7:30. So, again, for argument's sake, let's say Bein HaShmashas goes for 20 minutes. Okay? Let's just accept that for now. So, you dive a Maariv at 7:30. You get up to Sfiras Omer at 7:40, 7:45, still before, in the time frame of Bein HaShmashas. So, it's 10-15 minutes after Shkia. So now, again, the Tzibur is going to count down with the Bracha because they're going to rely on the opinion that once it's after Bein HaShmashas, or maybe even after Plaga Mincha, according to some, B'shas Tzachak, you can count with the bracha because we hold, according to many Paiskim, that Sfir is only Midrabanan. So the Tzibur is going to do that. But you, again, want to fulfill the Chatchila, so you're going to wait till after Tzeis to count with the bracha. So again, just the Mishmur continues, V'yaitin azidei Sfir la Paiskim, the Sfir, the Sfir, b'zman hazeh, d'rabanan. And you're going to fulfill your obligation according to the majority of opinions that hold Sfir, b'zman hazeh, d'rabanan. Achein, however, who writes to the daktek for this Matzeis HaKachavim? But he wants to fulfill the mitzvah properly and count from Matzeis HaKachavim. So again, one more time, this guy is davening at the Shkia Maariv Minyan like we have downstairs and many other shuls have. You're davening Maariv at Shkia. By the time you're finishing Shmona Esrei and you're getting up to Sfira, it depends what shul you're in, but many shuls will count with the bracha at that point. That's usually only in Bein HaShmashas, unless you had a really long Shmona Esrei, a really long Maariv. You're not going to be after Matzeis HaKachavim. You're probably going to still be in the Zman of Bein HaShmashas. So it's a machlokes if you can count then or not. The Tzibur is going to count with the bracha to be yotze according to those opinions. You want to fulfill your obligation to the best way, so you'll count now without a bracha and make a stipulation, the insurance policy, that if I remember later, I'll count with the bracha. Now, let's raise, there are two main questions that the poskim deal with over here with how this Tanai works. We already mentioned before that there was a fundamental machlokes achrayin, and we said it b'shem Rabbi Saul Salanter and the Chazon Ish, how this Tanai works in general. Do you have it like it's regular Dinei Tanayim? Or is it just once it's between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't have to get involved and know the nitty-gritty details of Tanayim, of stipulations? The Achronim ask a different question. There's a sugya, another sugya in the Gemara called Breira. Breira means that I want to do something now, but it's not clear, it's vague in what my action is, and it'll come clear afterwards, after certain conditions are met, so I want to make it work retroactively. For example, it's coming close to Shabbos, and I live in an area where, you know, it's sparsely populated, so I need to make, if I want to walk around on Shabbos, I need to make, past my 2,000 amos, I need to make an Erev Techumen. I need to do something that's going to extend my boundary for Shabbos. I put out a little box of matzahs and peanut butter, some food items I can make. We're not going to go through the halachas now, Erev Techumen. That's the basic idea. You put out some food 2,000 amos away. That's kaina. That gets you a shavisa, a new resting place. And you have an extension to walk on Shabbos. Now, halach is you can only make Erev Techumen in one direction. I mean, I can't make Erev Techumen that'll give me an extra perimeter of 2,000 amos in any northeast, south, and west. I have to choose. You know, I want to go visit my Rebbe on Shabbos. He lives to the north of me, so I'll make my Erev Techumen to go north before Shabbos. Let's say I'm in doubt before Shabbos. I have two Rebbeim. I have one Rebbe lives in the north, I have one Rebbe lives in the south. Now, who am I going to choose to visit Shabbos after? I'm not sure yet. So I want to make two Erev Techumen before Shabbos. I'll put one to the north, I'll put one to the south, and I'll make a stipulation. I'll make a tonight. If I decide Shabbos morning to go visit my Rebbe to the north, I want that Erev Techumen to be my Erev. If I want to go visit my Rebbe to the south, I want that Erev to be an Erev. Now, although it sounds like a Tanai, the Gemara calls that what we call Breira. Because I'm doing a Maisa now that it's going to be Muvra, it's going to be Huvra, it's going to come clarified later what exactly I did. It's not clear. On Friday afternoon, it's not clear what I did. I just did two random actions. I'm going to decide later, and that decision later is going to now solidify the action I did previously. It's similar to a Tanai, but it's different. But the bottom line I'm going to bring out from here right now is that this sugya of Breira is a massive machlokes rishonim, if it could work for daraisas, darabanan, or account. Many paiskim say it does not work for daraisas, but it works for darabanan. Many paiskim say it works for daraisa, but it doesn't work for darabanan. I mean, it works for daraisa, and it also works for darabanan. You have every permutation of machlokes that could possibly be exist by the sugya of Breira. That's why many times in yeshiva, they just tell you, Hatzlacha Rabbah. For for a synopsis of Breira. You look in Encyclopedia Talmudis in the fourth volume under Breira, and you have pages and pages of all the opinions. Bottom line is, we always do whatever we can to avoid the shaila of Breira, of doing an action now that only becomes clarified later because of the massive machlokes rishonim, even though the Shulchan Aruch paskins one way in Yeridea, but even after the Shulchan Aruch paskins, still the debate still continues. So we do whatever we can to avoid Breira. So many achrayim ask, how does this atnayim mitzvahs work? Atnayim mitzvah, now again, Breira doesn't interplay when it comes to Chayshim Mishpah, when it comes to dealing business transactions. So there, a Tanai, we call it only a Tanai. But when you're out of the realm of business transactions, when you're in, let's say, here, the guard of Mitzvah, or we spoke about the case of Erev Tuchumen, there this principle of Breira kicks in. So the Paiskim are bothered. We always try to avoid Breira, that whole question, because it's such a big machlaikis, and there's so many different sugyas that seemingly go different ways, so we want to avoid it. So why over here is a Shulchan Aruch paskening, like the Avud Raham and Rekiv Eger saying about Krishma, and the other Paiskim spoke at other cases discuss it. Why are they all ignoring the sugya of Breira? Why don't they get involved here in that we should raise a red flag, we should raise the alarm, we shouldn't do this, because they're getting involved machlaikis of whether or not we say Breira or not. So one Yisai I just want to speak out, which is from Shlomo Kluger, in the Tshuvas Elef L'cha Shlomo, he has various ways to avoid this question, but one idea he says is a fundamental point, an idea of Breira and Tanai. He says like this, I didn't put it down on the paper, I'm just going to speak it out. The machlaikis of whether we say Breira or don't say Breira is only in a dover that's totally in a Maisa. I have to do a specific physical act that my action is going to solidify an act, a physical act that I did. However, says Rav Shlomo Kluger, if it's here, it's just totally my machshava. It's not going to relate to anything physical that I did. It's only a dibor, and it's only a kavana process that I had in the kriyishma. Which kriyishma I want to be yaitza, says Rav Shlomo Kluger, their breira doesn't kick in. The way I understood this, and it doesn't say these exact words, but the way I understood it is that I don't need a chalois. I don't need how do you translate a chalois? Chalois. Yeah, happening. I don't need the happening to happen in my Sphere Sa'imer, my Kriyishma. I said this Kriyishma or the Sphere Sa'imer, and I made this stipulation. It's when what happens later, when I do say it or don't say it later with the right kavana, is not making a chalais of what I did previously. That's Klapishmaya Galia. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides which one's my real Kriyishma. I don't need to get involved. My Maisa is not defining. It's not making a chalais. There's no Maisa here that needs a chalais. Let me try to say this again. According to Rav Shlomo Kluger, when the whole thing is only totally about Amira, and it's not going back, it's not relating to decide a physical thing, which one is my Erev? Is that my Erev? Is that my Erev? There we get involved in the Shaila of Breira. Here, which Kriyishma was the right one? What's the difference? That's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbon. I don't have to come out and say, I'm going that way. Therefore, that was really the one I had intention for the whole time. Let's say I said I made this tonight with Kriyishma, and then I just kept davening. And I have no idea at the end of the day if I made Zman Kriyishma or didn't make Zman Kriyishma. So you can tell me I'm not Yaitza, I didn't fulfill my obligation? Of course I fulfill my obligation. I don't have to know the end result to know whether or not I finished, whether or not I fulfilled my obligation or not. My Sphere Soimer. I don't have to know, I know if I counted or not. But the point is, I don't have to know if the Tanai worked or didn't work. That's how Kodesh Baruch Hu's Cheshman, so to speak, and the Paiskim are saying that Tanai works. By Breira, where we have to solidify it on this particular Maisa, there, that's a Machalikas and we avoid it. Over here, the Shlomo Kluger is saying you don't have to get involved in Breira. That's one issue the Paiskim can deal with. One more quick issue before we move on, that the Tzvi Pesach Frank in the Sefer Mikroi Kodesh brings in the name of Shimon Shkup the following Shaila. There's another principle in Tanai we didn't discuss till now called Milsa de lesa b'shlichos lesa b'tanai. If I can't make an agent, a shliach, to do this for me, I can't make a stipulation it. The Gemara discusses by halacha of chalitza. By chalitza, I can't, it's a mitzvah shebagufay, right? And I can't make a shliach to do it. The woman herself and the brother-in-law have to do it. The brother-in-law can't send an agent, the woman can't send an agent to do it. It's not like a get or a kedushin. Those two people are the main parties involved. They have to want to do it. The Gemara says a principle, if it can't be done with a shliach, then you can't make a stipulation. The way the Paiskim understand it, the way the Paiskim are explaining it, is because if I cannot make a shliach to do it, that's muchach that I'm not a full bailam on the dover. If I am completely in control of something, a man wants to divorce his wife. He's completely in control of the ability to do that. So he can go ahead and make a shliach to do that for him. So it's something that's isa b'shlichus, it's also isa b'tanai. Therefore, a man can make a stipulation if he wants to send a get to his wife with any condition he wants to send her with, whatever. There's certain halachas that you could or can't say, but that's in Hilchos Gittin. But in the fact that you could make a stipulation, that exists because I could do a shliach for it. Over here, the Paiskim ask, I can't have you count Sefiras Torah for me. You can't be my shliach to say Kriya Shema for me. It's a mitzvah shebegufay. I myself have to do it. If it's a mitzvah shebegufay, ask Rav Shimon Shkop, how can you say that Tanai works? Milsa de lesa b'shlichas, lesa b'tanai. If I can't have a shliach do it for me, I can't make a stipulation because it shows that it's not really within my dominion. So just to say it quickly, the Tzvi Pesach answers based on a Ramban and Baba Basra. The Ramban and Baba Basra says that by a nazir, a person who accepts upon himself a vow, he could make a tanai with certain conditions. Says Ramban, why? I can't make a shliach to make a neder of a nazir that he promises to be a nazir. So why does it work that can make a stipulation? Says the Ramban, because when do we say that you cannot make a stipulation if I can't do it with shlichos? That's only when I'm doing it between me and my fellow man. Or between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chol inyan havi tanai. So Tzvi Pesach is bringing from this Ramban, by Nazir at least, that you see that since the Nazir's neder is between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can make a tanai even though there's no inyan of shlichos. That sounds very similar to what we spoke at before from the Chazon Ish when it comes to this halacha of making a tanai in Kriya Shema or making a tanai in Sefiras Ha'omer. You don't need the Dinei Tanayim. Although we have, again, numerous places, the Gemara discusses all the various halachas of Tanayim. It has to mimic Tanayim B'nei Gov B'nei Ruvein, has this other principle of Milsa de Isa B'Shlichas Isa B'Tanai that you have to have the ability to make a shliach to carry out for you if you want to be able to make a stipulation. Says the Ramban that the Tzvi Pesach is bringing that that's only in a Tanai and a stipulation they make between you and HaKadosh, between you and fellow man. Then I need to have all the halachas of Tanayim according, and also this stipulation that it has to be Isa B'Shlichas, has to have the ability to make a shliach to do it. However, any type of stipulation I'm making in a mitzvah completely between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then I'm not bound by any of the gedarim of Tanai. So it seems like from here as well, there are two Pesach Frank with Pasuk like the Chazon Ish, when it comes to making Tanai in Kriya Shema or making a Tanai in Sefiras Ha'omer, I don't have to have all the various halachas of Tanayim of saying it, Hein Kodim Alav, and Tanai Kafel.
So it's not like Rabbi Shlomo Salanter.
Correct. Okay, now comes the exciting part. Here we go. The whole reason why I said this shiur was just to get to the following shaila. Okay, like this. There's another halacha in Sefiras Ha'omer we're going to introduce now in source number 8. The Rama says in Hilchos Sefiras Ha'omer, right over here in source 8, Kishagia Hazman Asurim Lachalachi Yispar. When the time comes to count Sefiras Ha'omer, you're not allowed to eat until you do the mitzvah. This is a halacha that's by many mitzvahs. When the time for mitzvah comes, you have to starve till you do the mitzvah. But the point of that is that we're afraid if you're going to get involved in your suda, you're going to start eating, you get carried away, you're going to forget to do the mitzvah. Great. Says the Mishnah Berurah in source 9, when is that? Ukishagia Hazman, says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkon Chav Gimel, Ratzalayim Mitzvah Sakechav. So at nightfall, which is the Zman for Sefiras Ha'omer, that's the most appropriate time to count it. So let's just say, for argument's sake, nightfall is 8:30. Comes 8:30, you can't eat until you count Sefiras Ha'omer. Now let's say you have a set minyan for Ma'ariv and all that. Okay, fine, that's one way out of it. Now really the halacha is also even a little bit before that, a half hour before that, you shouldn't eat because we're afraid you're going to get involved in the suda, you're going to have a good steak dinner with some good wine, and you're also going to forget. But okay, for now we're going to focus, the halacha is that once it's time to do the mitzvah, you can't eat. So asks Rabbi Avram Ganachovsky, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, the Rashiv of Chabin, he asked the following dilemma. Let's say a person counts Al Tanai. He's davening in the shul that's davening Ma'ariv early, Bein HaShmoshes. So they're davening Ma'ariv at 7:30, whatever, right after Shkia. He wants to do like the Shulchan Aruch, Paskin, the name of Avudraham, and wants to count later after Tzeisak HaKavim. So what's he going to do? He'll say, listen, I'll count now without a bracha, like the Shulchan Aruch says, tonight's the 15th night of Sefira, and I'll make it tonight. I'll have in mind that later on, after nightfall, after 8:30, I'll count with a bracha. So what does he do? He davens Ma'ariv at 7:30, he says Sefira at 7:42, he goes home and sits down to a delicious supper. Great. Now he finishes his dinner, and he wants to count Sefira with a bracha. Says Rav Ram Ganachovsky, hold on one second. If you're going to count Sefira now with the bracha, so what does that show? That your Sefira that you did after Bein HaShmoshes at 7:42 when you counted was nothing. Your real Sefira is going to be now. If your real Sefira is going to be now, that means you just ate a dinner that was illegal. You were not allowed to eat dinner at that point because you didn't count do the mitzvah of Sefira Sayim yet. Again, you did Sefira early Bein HaShmoshes at 7:40-ish, right? During Bein HaShmoshes. With the Tanai, that if you'll remember later, you'll count with the bracha. You went home, and after a long day of work, you finally sat down to eat dinner. Great. Then you remember you have a nice long dinner, and you remember you got to count Sefira. Baruch Hashem, you remembered. Ask Rav Ganachovsky, 1 second, you're in a catch 22 now. You want to get the mitzvah l'chatchila, but by getting the mitzvah l'chatchila of counting Sefira with the bracha, you're going to be l'mafreya, retroactively, you're going to have transgressed an avera of eating before this man of Sefira Soimer.
But you were protected because if you forgot to make the bracha,
okay,
then you were yoicha by the provisional.
So, Rav Biel is saying that your insurance policy should cover you for that. The insurance policy, you can't, but keep in mind for a minute, okay, we'll get to that in a minute, but I'm going to point out it's not so simple, because when I'm going to count now, what am I saying is that what I did before was nothing. It's like it was like Hayav Leinivra, never existed. Not like I had, right, once I count later, so what I did earlier was non-existent.
Right.
So now, what I'm making that I just counted Sefira with a bracha, but I just ate dinner, and that was illegal.
The whole purpose of not eating is to make sure you count. It's not a mitzvah of not eating, and another mitzvah is sphere.
Okay, now I think this is very exciting. Right, this is, okay, so hold on. Right, that's a good point. Right, so you took care of it. But okay, let's say in a regular case, let's say a guy didn't make the stipulation. Let's say a guy was at a long day at work, he was so tired, he went straight home, and it was ready after, it was 9 o'clock at night, he finally sat down, he forgot about this halacha, and he sat down and ate dinner. And after dinner, he remembered, oh, I forgot to have my account sphere, he did it. You don't say lemafreya, he wasn't over that the avera of eating before Sefira. He did that wrong. Baruch Hashem, he remembered to count Sefira. It's true he remembered to count Sefira, but he still did the wrong thing by eating supper first. Right?
No harm, no foul.
He's a total ones.
Why is he an ones?
Because he forgot.
Okay, but okay, fine. So that's an avera b'oynis. Maybe when we say, you know, chet, you have avera you did b'oynis to mishogig. Okay, you have to have a mind for that. But meaning, it's true. You ended up. You. It's good. You count the sefer with a bracha. That's great. You got the mitzvah, but you have to also keep in mind that you acted inappropriately by the fact that you ate supper first.
The entire purpose.
Okay, hold on. Okay, hold your thought. We got to finish up. Hold on. So, in a similar vein, this idea that the dilemma of being stuck in a situation where I have a mitzvah to do. And I should do it, but if I do it, it's going to cause an avera l'mafreya. So there's a Rekiv Eger and Chul with a similar idea, similar suffix. Rekiv Eger, it's a couple lines, but it's loaded. Rekiv Eger says as follows in source 10. Mesupik ani, I'm in doubt. Im shachat shlamim. Excuse me. If a person is by the Beis Hamikdash and he offers a carbon shlamim, v'loy zarak dam, and they didn't do this zrika, they didn't sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach. The achakach, and then afterwards, in this in between time of the shechita before the zrika, shachat binoi chulin, the son, the offspring of that animal, that was a mother animal that was brought, and the offspring of that animal was shechted as chulin somewhere out in Tveria. You know that they shechted the offspring of that animal. Now there's a avera in the Torah. A mother and an offspring sacrifice cannot be, a mother and an offspring of an animal cannot be slaughtered on the same day. You cannot slaughter a mother and child on the same day. That's the mitzvah. So, again, the mother was shechted as a carbon shlamim, and he did not do the zrika yet. So it was shechted, the zrika wasn't done yet. Meanwhile, the child of this mother cow, whatever it was shechted somewhere else for chulin. Im Moirin says with Kivega, I'm in doubt if we paskin from now shlo yizrik hadam. Perhaps we should tell him not to sprinkle the dam. Because the halacha is that if you don't sprinkle the dam, the shchita of that animal is psula. And by the halacha, according to Rab Shimon, the Gemara, that's where he's coming off over there, the halacha is, according to Rab Shimon, if you have a pasul to shchita, if the shchita is not kosher, then you could shech the mother and the child on one day. That's according to Rab Shimon. So ask Rab Kiveger, so maybe I should tell the kohen now in the Beis Hamikdash, don't sprinkle the blood. Kidei shlo yavar halav. If you don't sprinkle the blood, then you're going to avoid that there was a prohibition transgressed here. Again, someone else, someone shechted the child as for chulin. If the kohen's going to go ahead now and zrika the dam and spritz the blood, it's going to cause that there was a vaver transgressed. Or maybe you'll tell me, says Rav Kiveger, da'asei doicha yisa. The ma'isa right now is a mitzvah to sprinkle the blood, a carbon shlamim. You can't just walk away from it. You shecht it. You got to sprinkle it. The mikom alkoim hashta ikka lov asei. Right now there's a mitzvah asei. Rakim yasa asei, but you're in a dilemma, because if you do the asei, yava lov l'mafreya alalav. It's going to cause the lav to happen. It's arachin. So Rav Kiveger is misupik in this concept. If sometimes a person's caught in a dilemma where there's a mitzvah to be done right now, if I do the mitzvah, it's going to cause an aveir retroactively. So what do you tell the guy to do? He's caught in a catch 22 situation. In a similar vein, there's another case, I don't run out of time, but the Rajba in Gittin has a halacha of person gives his wife a get al-tanai, here's your get, al tanai that you never eat matzah for the rest of your life. Whatever, that's his mishigana tonight. So the get is chal. Fine, she's divorced. She goes ahead and gets remarried. Now comes Pesach. What's she supposed to do? She has a mitzvah asay to eat matzah. But if she eats matzah, that's going to cause retroactively her get to be null and void. Then she's a eishes ish, that's married. Maybe she has kids, whatever it is. That's a big dilemma. What do? The Rizber says she should not eat matzah. She should avoid the asay of the positive commandment of eating matzah on Pesach in order that her get remains a kayim. So says Rav Ram Ganachovsky, it seems from here, from that Rajba, that you should not do a mitzvah if it's going to cause an aver l'mafreya. This woman now is stuck. She can't eat matzah on Pesach because it's going to cause her get to become null and void. So too, back to Sfir Soimer, perhaps we'll say that he should not count with the bracha now, because if he counts with the bracha now, it's going to make his supper being done by avera. However, Rav Dov Landa Shlita, Rashiv and Slabotka, and the Sefer Zecher Dover, he's matcha this raya from the Rajba. He says maybe by a raya it's more chomer, by Eishes Ish, because they were dealing with a married woman, so you can't bring a raya from here to every other case. But at least there's something to think about. You see other cases in halacha that we tell you don't do the assay in order to avoid an avera. To get back to what Rabiel said before, you might argue and say that maybe what? The whole idea of counting by Bein HaShmashas without a bracha was an insurance policy. It was like a shomer. It was like a similar to what also Neil was saying. It's going to protect you that you'll fulfill the mitzvah in case you forget later. So that's like a protection. It should work for your benefit. It should never come back to haunt you. However, there's a problem with that because we have a Gemara as follows. The Gemara in Pesachim, in source 11, discussing the sugya of Kiddush Makom Suda, says, Rav, I'm going to read it quickly, Rabba holds, Ein Kiddush El Makom Suda. Abaya says, how do we know this? How do we know that Rabba is also of the opinion, Ein Kiddush Makom Suda? Because Abaya says, Ki Havina Beibar, when I was by my Rebbe's house, Rabba's house, Ki Havim Mekala, she would make Kiddush Friday night, Omar Lon, he would tell us, the Talmidim, to eat Mimidi, eat something in my house, Dilma, because perhaps, Ad Aziltu Lushpiza, when you go back to your host, to where you're staying, Miss Akaluchu Shraga, your candles already be out, they had a walk, long walk home, wherever it was. You're not going to be able to make Kiddush in a dark home. So at least eat something now. So I'll be yaitz a Kiddush. And therefore, you don't have to worry. When you get back home, you won't be able to make Kiddush. Okay, and the Gemara gets into a discussion about Kiddush Makom Suda. So in source number 12, it's going to sum it up quickly. The Tzlach says, how did that work? The end of the Tzlach, where it's underlined, source 12 says, Nira, he's come to answer a question, but we'll just focus on what we need to right now. He says that the whole Rabbi was telling him to make a Tanai, to make a stipulation. If you'll listen to Kiddush now by Rabba, Abayis listen to Rabba's Kiddush, and if his candle, and should eat something, so that if when he goes home, his candle is out, he'll be yaitza Kiddush now. But if his candle is lit, he doesn't want to be yaitza with Rabba's Kiddush, and he wants to make Kiddush again when he gets home. So ask Rav Ram Ganachovsky, how does this work? How does this tzlach, what's the tzlach saying? That if it comes out that when Abayi went home, the candle was still lit, that means he ate before Kiddush. Because he ate in Rabba's home on the idea that he might have to go back later and make Kiddush again, whether or not to be candle lit or not. He wasn't sure if it was going to be yaitza Kiddush or not. He was in that Tanai mode. But if he gets back home and his lights are still on, so what does that mean? He wants to make Kiddush at home. That means he ate in Rabba's house without Kiddush, because he doesn't want to be yaitza with Rabba's Kiddush. So how does that work? As Rav Ram Ganachovsky, it seems to he, don't tell me that Tanai is like a Shomer, because a Shomer has no Shaychus to Kiddush. You can't say that Tanai is Bibkoim a Shomer. Tanai is like an insurance, or like a Shomer, a safeguard. Because here a Tanai has nothing to do with Shmira. The fact that when I'm going to make Kiddush later has nothing to do with a Shmira, has to do with Halach of Kiddush. Then I want to make Kiddush from Malkum Suda. So he raises a doubt over here of how exactly the lumbus of a Tanai, where exactly is this principle, because you see from this Gemara that's not working as a Shomer. You see that it's just working that it could be Phil Kiddush now or Phil Kiddush later. And if so, he's back to still his suffix, a case of a person who's in doubt and whether or not he's going to remember to take Sfir Soimer later or not. So he counts Sfir Soimer now without a bracha ben Hashmashas. He goes home, has supper, and then remembers later that he should count Kriya Shema with the bracha. What should he do? If he makes a bracha, it comes out that his supper was be'isser. But if he doesn't make a bracha, it comes out he counted without a bracha that night. So he leaves off with the question, and I invite you to discuss it. And there's another two interesting Maamar Kaimis over here about the idea of Sfira, the Derech Havoida, but we'll stop here for time.
Make it more complicated to deny that any meal I eat after